My name's Josh. I'm the lead pastor, my wife, Brittany. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who brought in love bags this morning. I saw you toting them in. Some of you stopped by this week, and it is just such a blessing.
Absolutely. And we want to make sure everybody is on the same page, and we are so excited about what is happening next Sunday. Does anybody know? Can you yell at me what's happening next Sunday? Reach Day. That is right. We are trading our in-house services next Sunday morning, and we're going to be going out to love on the community of Pomell. Here's how you can be a part, because we've heard people say, oh, we can't wait, we can't wait. But it's so important that you hop on the website or the app and register. I promise it is like literally two clicks when you open it. Reach Day is at the top of the page. Here's the reason why. We want to have you on a team. We want to have you assigned ahead of time, and we want to have a shirt ready for you. We're going to be here at 9 a.m. first thing next Sunday morning. We're going to pass everything out, and we're going to go. So we just want to be ready and prepped. So register today, and there's also a spot. If you have a little, 5 years and under, we'll have childcare here for them. So we'll have it all covered for you.
That's right. And there is something for everyone to do next Sunday morning. If you're good at handiwork, we're doing some repairs on houses and such. If you love kids and you've been background check, we'll let you help with our kids service that we're doing actually for some local churches that are in that neighborhood. And it is going to be an incredible time. If you love to pray, we have a team that are just walking the streets and are going to have an opportunity to pray with neighbors and distribute a lot of these love bags. And then if you're not here next Sunday, let me just tell you, we'll still have our live stream service at 9 and 11. For those of you that are here today, I'll tell you a little secret. It's a pre-recorded message that some of you have probably already heard before, but you can still pray for us, even if you're out of town and not going to be here. Pray that God will just continue to do a mighty move in that neighborhood. And this is a first for us. It's, you know, the church, we say it, that the church is not defined by these four walls, and we're going to live it out next Sunday. And I'm so excited to make that happen. Now, I will tell you, if this is your first time here, we are in our missions month. And so the first week of our mission series this month, we focused on our pillar of church planting. Last Sunday, Jay and Nancy Dickerson were here, and we talked about going into the hard to reach places. And this morning we are kind of in pillar three, where we are talking about investing in the next generation. And we have a great friend who is actually originally from Fountain Inn, South Carolina, but by way of Atlanta and Orlando, pastored probably one of the fastest growing churches in the U.S. in Orlando for a long time. And will you give a warm Greenville First welcome to Pastor Josh Turner as he makes his way to the stage this morning?
Thanks, buddy. How are we doing? We good? Can you hear me? Is my mic on? There we go. I'm from Fountain Inn, y'all.
Yeah.
Come on. They're every time I've lived in Florida, thank you, Fountain Inn. Thanks, Mom. It's so funny. I've lived most of my life in Florida. I went to a little school called Florida State University. Pray for our football team. We were so afraid of Clemson that we didn't even play yesterday. We shut it down. I always tell people, they're like, where are you from? And I'm like, I'm from Fountain Inn. And they just kind of stare at me and I go, Greenville. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. And they're like, oh, okay. It makes sense. And so, man, it's an honor to be here with you guys. And like Pastor Josh said, I'm in Atlanta now. My family, we live there. We moved there about a year and a half ago. I actually have a picture of my family. I like to kind of show them off. So this is my crew. That is my wife, Becca. We have been married for 17 years. And that is my son, Aiden. He is 17 years old. So if you can do math, I was not always a Christian. Okay, we can put that together. I'll tell you an awkward story real quick. I was preaching somewhere and I said that, and I said 17 years of marriage, and that's my son. And everybody started clapping when I said 17 years of marriage. Then they started doing the math in their head, and the clapping slowly faded away. And I just sat there and I was like, well, cool. Now I'm being judged by everybody, which means you're all sinners. And that is our daughter, Riley. Riley is 12 years old. She is lower in that picture. Riley is severely special needs. She is the 12th known case in the world of a rare genetic disorder, which ended up causing us to move to Atlanta for Medicaid and doctors and all that sort of stuff. And so that's my crew, and I look forward to Riley bossing me around for the rest of my life, because that's what's going to happen. If you've never been disrespected by a child in a wheelchair that speaks sign language, it's adorable. And so that's my family. And like I said, man, it's an honor to be here. This is the moment in ministry and as a pastor and a preacher where you get up and you honor the pastor. And you're like, you know, me and Josh go way back and we've been friends and we've had many deep, none of that's true. And so I was thinking about what I was going to say about you, because you and I have only gotten to know each other on a trip in Montana when we were doing godly things like fly fishing and shooting ducks. And so I was thinking about, like, man, what am I going to say about you? Because we don't know each other that well yet, and we're getting to know each other. And it hit me as you were up here exhorting. I'm going to try not to get choked up. This is not to disparage anybody else or any other preacher out there. We live in a world, I've been a pastor for 15 years. I've planted churches. I've gotten to travel and do a lot of really cool things. We live in a world where there's a lot of preachers and no pastors. We live in a world where what guys desire is they desire the platform. They desire, and they don't even know why they want to do all these things. And what struck me about you up here exhorting and then putting the names and the people on the screen and everybody praying for them, brother, you're a pastor. And I just want to say to your church, I hope you know how lucky you are to have a man of God that wants to pastor you and not just stand up on stage and preach. Preaching's important and preaching's good. You can clap. Some of you are like, we're still not sure about you yet. We're not clapping. But I hope you know how lucky you are, because that is a rare thing, weirdly, in the church world these days. And so, bro, it really, like, it ministered to me seeing someone get up and say, man, here's what we're going to do. We're going to press into this. We're going to press into this moment with the Lord, and we're actually going to pastor your people. So thank you for not being like all the other tool sheds out there and just wanting to be a preacher. So with that being said, I'm your preacher. This is what I was playing. So I have a very easy job this morning. Sometimes when you go in and you travel to preach places, they're like, hey, we need you to preach on whatever. And sometimes it's weird topics and things that you're not super gifted in teaching in or preaching in. And so when Pastor Josh and I were having some conversations, here's what I get to do today. And I'm super excited about this. It's not going to be a normal type of sermon, but I do want you to take notes, because if you take notes, you get to pick where you live in heaven. But I have a super easy job of just encouraging you today, of just telling you that actually what you're doing is making a difference, not only in Greenville, South Carolina, but all over the world. And I think so many times as people in church, and I grew up in a church, we can just get focused on the little microcosm that God has allowed us to be in, let's just say in Greenville, South Carolina. We can look at the hands and feet of everything that we're doing right now and all the things we're doing, and we can think that, man, this is the only impact that we're having in this town, in this city, in this area. And what I want you to know is that actually what you are doing and what you will do is not going to just impact Greenville, South Carolina, but there are going to be people all over the world that come to know Jesus Christ because of what you guys are doing at Greenville First. And there's so many times that we forget this. There's so many times that we think that everything that we do, like, it's just this, it's like we can't see the forest from the trees sometimes. And so to set up this idea of what we're going to talk about, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 13. If you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be on the Jumbotron behind me. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 13. Now, let me give you a little back story of what's happening in this moment. So Paul is writing this letter, and he's writing this letter to the Corinthian church. The reason that Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church is because the believers in Jerusalem at this moment have fallen on hard times financially. Not only have they fallen on hard times financially, they're also facing massive persecution. And so Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian church, and he's encouraging them and thanking them in their service and in their generosity because of what it's doing to the believers in Jerusalem. And that's where we're going to pick it up. Paul says this, verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will have always everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I just want to say this about verse 8. It doesn't say that you will have everything you want. It says that you will have everything you need. And I think so many times Christians, what we think is if we put God first in our finances, which we always should, that we will then have everything that we want. God doesn't promise us everything that we want. God promises us everything that we need. So when people have a misunderstanding between want and needs, then what it causes them to do is question God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness does not depend on whether he said yes or no to your prayers. God's faithfulness is always about what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so in this verse, just remember that it says God will give you what you need, not always what you want. Because how many of you know, there's a lot of things I want. I'm a hunter and a fisherman. I love gear. Like my wife's worst nightmare is me wandering through Cabela's with nothing to do but just have time on my hands. Because I'm coming home with something and I probably don't need it. I'm like, baby, I needed this compound bow. What happens if the zombies come? Who's gonna protect you then? God will give you everything that you need and plenty left over to share with others. As scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Let me just say this as well. None of this is in my notes. This is just all coming to me in this moment, to be honest with you. One of the things that we always need to remember is that everything that we have is because God allows us to have it. And God gives it to us. And I know a lot of guys, that here's what we say, men and women. Well, I work for this. I earned this. I hustle at my job. I started this company. I did whatever the case may be. Don't ever underestimate that your ability to do the job that has garnered you the finances that you have, those gifts came from God in the first place. And there's so many times that we think, and I've done this, guys. I'm the king of it. There were moments as a preacher, and when you've done something for so long that you sometimes feel like you can pull it off without the Lord. Now, you would never say that. I would never be like, Lord, don't need you today. I got it. You know what I mean? Like, we would never say that. But there are times that what we end up doing is we end up trusting in our own abilities, and we think that that is what we need to get to where God is calling us. But we have to remember that the abilities and the gifts that we have that allow us to do the things that earn us money are the gifts that God has given us in the first place. And if you need remembering a reminder of that, just remember that when you woke up this morning and you had breath in your lungs, that was the gift of the Lord. And that is the ability, and those are the gifts that the Lord has given you. Verse 11. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts, I want you to underline these parts. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. They won't thank you. They're going to thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Here's what Paul's saying, and this is incredible. What Paul is saying is, hey, listen, guys, when you serve the believers in Jerusalem and when you actually give to them as well, they're going to go to bed at night, and they're not going to be thanking you. They're going to be thanking God. So the way that you serve these other people is actually going to cause them to bring thankfulness and worship to God. And I want you to know that what you guys are going to be doing in Greenville, South Carolina, and what you already are doing in Greenville, South Carolina, that there are going to be people that put their heads on their pillows at night, and they're not going to thank Greenville first. They're going to thank God because you are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And that is something that is massive, that we get to be a part of this story. That we get to be a part of this, that God could do it any way that he wanted. He could cause the rocks to cry out. God could cause a bird to land on someone's shoulder and be like, you know about Jesus? And you're like, word? Like, God could do anything. But God said, no, I actually want you to be a part of this. And I want you to go on this journey with me, and I actually want you to do the things that I've called you to do on this earth. And that's to serve and love those who are less fortunate. And so I just want to give you two things this morning and write them down. And just because I think that there are times in our own lives where we need this encouragement, right? Like there are days like where you can just say, man, I don't feel like I'm doing anything for the Lord. I don't think I'm making a difference. I don't think I'm whatever the case may be. And I think that there are times where we need to be able to go back and remember what was spoken over us as a reminder to the things that we're currently struggling with in our hearts. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this thought down. It says this: because of your serving, God is changing lives. Because of your serving, God is changing lives. We just read it, verse 13. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them. And to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Here's the other thing that gets me about when we serve other people. It proves that we're actually obedient to Christ. When you go and you care for somebody else, I was actually reading a book recently by a guy named, I don't know if you know, A.J. Swoboda. And he said, I feel like if someone were to ask Jesus, do you feel like you're loving the Lord more? He would say, well, I love God well, and I love others really well. So yeah, I'm growing in the Lord. And I think at times, one of the things that God looks at, and we make following Jesus all these different things, where one of the things that Jesus is very clear about, man, if you want to prove that you love me, take care of other people. Love other people. Help other people. Be my hands and feet. And it blows my mind that God would allow me, the sovereign God of the universe, would allow me to be a part of his story. And he would allow me to go out and serve the people that other people have forgotten, looked over, not liked, discarded. Listen, there are a lot of people on this earth that do not follow Jesus Christ, not because of anything to do wrong with Jesus Christ, but because of the way a Christian represented Jesus to them. You realize that? Like, I didn't, when I was at college, I didn't want anything to do with Jesus because the people that stood on campus and preached and yelled at us with megaphones looked like lunatics. You ever seen those street preachers? And they're out there doing the Lord's work, and you're like, if that's the Lord, I'm cool. I'll go to the bar. But here's the thing. You get to actually go and represent Jesus to somebody. And there will be people that will lay their head on their pillow at night and they'll say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. And you will be a part of those prayers. And I know at times we struggle with feeling like we're qualified to do that, right? Like at times, like maybe all of you are way more holy and spiritual than I am. It's not hard. And so I'm just playing. Like, you're way more holy and spiritual, but there's a lot of times where I think, God, I actually can't do those sort of things because I actually know all the things that are wrong inside of me. I know, just like you know, I know all the dark things that lurk in my heart. I know all the things I struggle with. And so when I have this idea that the sovereign God of the universe wants to use somebody like me to help impact somebody else's eternity through Jesus Christ, there's always a part of me that goes, yeah, God, but... Yeah, God, but do you know? Do you know what I struggled with? Do you know what my thoughts were? Do you know my what? And what I can imagine is that I'm not the only person in this room that feels that way. Listen to me. Please do not ever underestimate our very small acts of service in the hands of a large God. Don't ever underestimate what is going to happen next weekend at Reach Day, and let me just say this. I didn't know you were doing it this way. I thought you were doing it like every other church in America where it's like Saturday, we're going out to serve, but everybody come to church on Sunday and tithe. Like, it is amazing to me that you are shutting down your church on a Sunday morning to go and serve. Like, if that's not the heart of Jesus, to say, hey, we're not actually going to be a church that's just gathering in this wall. We're actually going to be a church that is going to go out and on the day that we should all be going together, and most pastors won't do this because we got to get that tithe, y'all, because to serve Jesus costs money. Let's just be real. Someone didn't hear about what you guys were trying to do in Greenville and be like, it's all free. And so that's usually what happens. And so the fact that you guys on a Sunday morning are saying, you know what? We're going to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we're going to go do a vacation Bible school. We're going to go serve the homeless community. We're going to go repair playgrounds, and we're going to go repair houses. Guys, that I don't know if there's something more that is the heart of Jesus, so that you can maybe have a conversation with someone that would open their heart to the gospel and you would be able to share Jesus Christ with them. I'll never forget, I pastored a church in downtown Orlando. It was just me and Mickey Mouse. And pastoring a city, or pastoring a church in a city like Orlando in the middle of downtown, it was very unique. We had a ton of homeless people in our church, and all around us you had like super wealthy areas and then super impoverished areas. And I've always wanted a church where not everybody looked like me. Handsome, no, I'm just playing. And you're not supposed to laugh at that. I don't understand why that got the laugh and nothing else did. I forgot my powder for my bald head. Y'all need to get this anointing. And so we would always go into this one community that was really, you know, an underserved, underdeveloped community. And we just would go in there and serve. And we would do whatever we could. And this girl, Sasha, shows up. She starts going to church. And then one Sunday, I did this altar call. I said, if there's anything holding you back, if there's anything that you're keeping, if there's anything that you need to give up to the Lord, walk to this altar and put it on this altar. You know, and as a pastor, and you've been down this road, you need to be prepared for some of the stuff that gets put on the altar. You're like security. You know what I mean? Like someone called the 5-0. And but Sasha walks down, and I see her, and she puts a flannel shirt on the altar. And I think, that's weird. That's a different, you know, it's usually like drug paraphernalia or like one weird guy that has a magazine he puts up here that you're like, why is that with you in church? And so she puts a flannel shirt. I actually still have this flannel shirt. I kept it. I don't wear it. I just kept it for a reminder. That's a weird sentence. And so I see Sasha leaving. And I run up to her, I go, hey, Sasha, I said, you put this flannel shirt up here. Now remember, she's at the church because we serve that community. That's it. I said, why did you put a flannel shirt up here? She goes, I put a flannel shirt up here because I tried to kill myself in that shirt. And I kept it all these years because I didn't know if there was a day I was going to put it back on. And I just think to myself, here's a young woman that through a church serving a community, God opened her heart for her to give something that she was keeping because she didn't know if there was going to be another day that she was going to try to take her life. There are going to be people, please hear me in this. There are going to be people next week that you are going to serve and you're not going to think anything about it. We're Christians. This is what we do. You're going to go help repair somebody's house. So if you're a handyman in here, listen, I don't know Pastor Josh well, but I don't have a lot of faith that he's bringing anything handy to the table. Okay? I don't as well either. My dad one time looked at me and goes, son, you don't like doing yard work like a man? I go, no, sir, I do not. That's why I had a son. There are going to be people next week, please hear me, that you're going to serve, that you're going to think nothing of it. And they will go to bed that night thanking Jesus for you. Thanking Jesus because you were actually the answer to that prayer. The lady that's been praying for someone to come and fix her house, but she can't afford it, you're going to be the answer to that prayer. The homeless man or woman that has not been able to eat anything or have real conversations with someone, you are going to be the answer to that prayer. And so they're going to go to sleep at night, not thanking Greenville first, but thanking Jesus. And isn't that the way it should be? And I just want to encourage you, and I'm going to go back to this. I know so many times we don't feel like we're qualified for this. Because we know all the things that lurk in our hearts. We know all the issues that we have. We know all the struggles that we have. Like, I can tell you all the reasons that I am not qualified to do anything for the Lord. If you want to call my wife could also tell you all the reasons. She keeps a list. I just want to give you one verse, and this is a verse that has meant so much to me over the years. Ephesians 2:10 says this. For we are God's masterpiece. So you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Here's what I want you to understand. Psalms 139, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were knit together in your mother's womb. God watched you as you were formed in the utter depths of seclusion. God spoke everything into existence. The sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, everything. But when it came to us, he knit us together with his hands and watched us as we were formed in the utter depths of seclusion. God does not take the time to make something with his hands if he does not have a plan for it. So you were created for a purpose. You were made for a purpose. And then Ephesians 2:10 tells us, not only were you made for a purpose, but you were also saved for a purpose. And part of the purpose that you and I have both been called to on this side of eternity is to go out into the cities that we live in and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. So you may not feel like you're qualified to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, but what I'm telling you is that when God watched you as you were formed in utter seclusion and Jesus hung on the cross and paid for your sins and gave you his righteousness, that you were made and you were saved for the good works that God planned for you in long ago. And those good works are being the hands and feet of Jesus. So when you go out next week, listen, go to the website, go to the app, sign up and realize and pray. Here's my prayers all the time. Lord, allow me to have conversations today that would help people come to know you better. And then just wait. Go and serve, go and do, and don't be shocked when someone looks at you and goes, hey, why are you guys doing this for us? Oh man, let me tell you about somebody that gave to me. Have you heard about Jesus? And then you think to yourself, got him. And you begin to have a conversation. Because of your serving, God is going to change lives. The second thing I want you to write down is this: because of your giving, God is going to change lives. One of the very unique things I've learned about Greenville First is I've had two conversations with two friends that know this church very well. One of the guys is Charlie Dawes, who preached for you guys a few weeks ago. And then another guy is named Chris Owen. I believe you know his father. And Chris is a very dear friend of mine. I've had some very hard moments in my life that I ended up at Chris's house seeking advice and wisdom, and he does that and then makes me do push-ups. I don't like it. You know what I'm talking about. He's just jacked now, like angry jacked. Like, where'd you get those muscles from? I got fatter in COVID. He got more in shape. I don't want to talk about it. And so I talked to both of these guys, and both of them said this. They go, man, Greenville First, they're a very generous church. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say about a church. And then I was talking to your pastor a couple weeks ago. And we start talking about your heart for the next generation, your heart for reaching kids and students with the gospel. He said the same thing. He goes, man, we're a generous church. So here's what gets me. Like I said, I've been a pastor for 15 years. All my friends are pastors. We're like a weird gang. A super lame gang is a gang of pastors. And most pastors, and I think you would know this, they don't describe their congregations usually as generous. This is what most pastors say. I can't get anybody to tithe. Nobody puts God first in their finances. I'm gonna have to lay out, they're cheap. Those people are cheap. It's what you hear. And so then I hear from two of my good friends and then your pastor that you're a generous church. So let me just say this before I even get in, like, I'm super proud of you. I'm super proud that you understand that putting God first in your finances is one of the most important things to do, and that actually the finances that God has given to you, he's actually given them to you so that he can funnel them into the kingdom. You understand that? Like, everything, it's God saying, hey, I'm going to give you with this, and I'm going to bless you with this, and I'm going to see what you do with it, and ultimately what I want you to do with it is my heart. Yes, I want you to have a good life, and yes, I want you to take care of your family, but I want you to take those resources, and I want you to put them into the kingdom. And so I'm just proud of you, because that's not the norm. And I'm not only proud of you, but I'm excited. And I'm excited because Greenville First and one of the organizations I work for, we're going to partner together next year. And I work for an organization called One Hope. One Hope has been around since 1987, and we have one mission. That mission is to reach every kid on the planet with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And since 1987, we have reached 1.7 billion kids with the gospel. A billion with a B. And then some of you are like, Not impressed. Not impressed. I wanted to go Donald Trump there for some reason.
Not impressed.
I don't know why. Sorry. Just kind of welled up inside of me. And
I've heard better.
If you're here for the first time, I'm not the pastor. So please come back next week. Your weird friend from Atlanta will be gone. So 1.7 billion kids. And then just this year, I just got these numbers last week. Just this year, we have reached 100 million kids in a global pandemic. 100 million kids. And I know when you hear, oh, you give kids the gospel. What are you giving them, like a King James version of the Bible and being like, good luck? You know what I mean? Like, is that what we're doing? No, we actually have 318 different programs in 154 countries and 177 languages. So we actually study a country and say, what is the best way to reach students and kids in this part of the country? Is it digital? Is it print? What is it? And so we have these different programs. And so Pastor Josh and I were having this conversation about different programs that we had. And I said, well, man, we've got this one. You know, it's in an area that we're really not supposed to be, and we have to do some really unique things to reach people who've never heard the name of Jesus. And your pastor goes, I want that one. And it's really, as I described it to him, the most gangster of all the programs that we have. And so I don't know if you know this about your pastor, but if you look up the word gangster in the dictionary, there's actually a picture of Pastor Josh right beside it. He's just giving a thumbs up. It's not super gangster, but it's something, you know? And so I actually brought a video to show you what Greenville First and One Hope are going to be doing next year together. Now, let me say this. If you are watching online, you're actually not going to see this video because it's dangerous for the people in the video. And we're not supposed to broadcast it because we're not supposed to be in these countries expanding the gospel. So if you're watching online, just any country that you think would be hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that one. And so please turn your attention to the screens. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to figure out if in these countries we're not allowed to share the gospel with anybody up under the age of 18 years old without their parents' consent, how do we still get to them? We get to them through social media. And this year, that one program, there have been 1.5 million people that have interacted with this program, that have clicked on things, that have been having questions answered. Here's what's crazy. When I was writing this sermon, I actually called Pastor Josh. I was sitting in a coffee shop because both of my kids right now are all homeschooled. Please God help us. And I was writing it, and I had this thought. And stay with me on this. There are going to be people. And I know I keep saying they're going to thank Jesus for your service. I want you to think about this. There are going to be people in that part of the world that the name of Jesus will pass through their lips for the first time ever because of what you do in Greenville. Who could do that but God? Who could have a young boy or a young girl in that part of the world go to bed at night and say, Jesus, thank you. And then 6 months earlier, they didn't even know that Jesus existed. That is God's. We get to be a part of something. And this is the way I always picture stuff. I don't know how you are. Like when I read the Gospels and I read the stories and Paul's letters, I always have these mental pictures of things. I don't know if they're going to be this way, but this is just the way. This is what I hope happens in heaven. One of the things. I hope that we're in heaven and Jesus walks up with somebody. He says, hey, I want you to meet this person. And you're like, Jesus, I don't know that person. Jesus, I've never seen this person before. And Jesus goes, but here's what's crazy. They're actually here because of what you did in Greenville, South Carolina. And I just hope that in those moments that we realize the impact that we have had in the kingdom. That there will be people in that part of the world, please, it's just that will say the name of Jesus for the first time ever. Because of what's happening in this church, in a different part of the world, and because of your faithfulness. And so let me just say, on behalf of all the people that will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because of what you're doing in this city that you will never meet on this side of eternity, thank you. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus. And listen, maybe for somebody in here, that's step two or three. And the first step is you committing or recommitting your life to Jesus. Listen, I know, like, we're here at church and people watching online. Like, if you're at church during a global pandemic and watching online during a global pandemic, you're a real Christian. Because most people are like, I don't have to go to church on Sunday anymore. But one of the things that I've learned about growing up in the South, and I was this guy, oh man, I could walk into church and fake it with the best of them. You know what I'm saying? You ever fight with your family the entire way to church and then get out and your dad look at you and go, act right. Yes, sir. And you go in and everybody's perfect. My wife and I and our kids, we couldn't drive to church together when I was pastoring because we were getting fights all the time. We lived less than a mile from the church. And then I'd get up and be like, blessings, everyone. How are we? Knowing that I'm like screaming at my son in the van right before we got there. You ever struggling with sin in your heart? And you know what's going on? Your marriage ever in trouble? You ever rebelling against the Lord, but you walk into church every Sunday and everybody asks you how you're doing and the easy answer is good, but you know inside of you that it ain't? We've all been there. I was awesome at it. I should have won an Oscar. We've all been down this road. And there's some of you in here that, listen, maybe you need to commit your life to Christ, or watching online, you maybe need to commit your life to Christ for the first time ever. Some of you, it may be a recommitment. I got saved at 14 years old and then for the next 10 years lived like I never made that decision. It was a recommitment. I don't know if it's once saved, always saved. I don't know if you lose your salvation. Nobody knows all that altogether. I'm just saying, if the Holy Spirit is moving on your heart, do what the Holy Spirit says. That's my theology these days. So if you're in here watching online, I just want to give you a chance to respond. So I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads with me. You know, the Bible is very clear that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And what that means is every person that has ever lived on this earth apart from Jesus Christ, we all need a Savior. All of us. All of us fall short of the holiness of a perfect God. And you and I could not save ourselves. So because of God's great love for us, not because we were so bad, but because God loved us so much, He sent His Son to this earth to live a perfect life and then to die on the cross in our place as forgiveness of our sins. So Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, which gives us forgiveness of all of our sins, but we were also received Jesus's righteousness. So now you are in right standing with the Lord, not because of the things that you do or do not do. You are in right standing with the Lord because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. And you can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't be, like, it is a free gift. And the Bible is very clear, it is a free gift so that no man can boast. And the Bible tells us that when we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected for us, that in that moment, we are saved. And if you're in here or you're watching online, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna count to three. And if you need to commit or recommit your life to Christ, I'm just gonna ask you to slip up a hand and that's it. I'm not gonna get you to do anything else. I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand if you need to commit or recommit your life to Christ. One, two, 3. Raise them. Amen. Amen. God, we thank you that you are a good God. God, thank you that you pursue us, that you come after us, that you love us, that you care for us. God, that not only because of your Son are we able to be forgiven, God, but we are able to be righteous because of him. God, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you for every person that raised their hand. If you raise your hand, I just want you to repeat this. You can just do it quietly. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. Save me, Jesus. I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.